When you want to grow your business, use Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Seamlessly collaborate with your team using a suite of built-in tools and features to make your workday easier, like huddles to schedule impromptu meetings and avoid another calendar invite, or Workflow Builder, which lets you automate routine tasks so you can spend more time on the work that matters most. Slack. Grow your business here. Learn more at slack.com.
Hey, all cheaters. Welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast. My name is Josh Landon. I'm here with Brandon Kelly. Brandon Kelly, how are you?
Josh, I told you last week, it's festive fixtures. It's festive Brandon. And I'm here to deliver some presents to all of the good FPL boys and girls. So let's go.
Let's go. Let's jump right into it. Yeah, I mean, this is a... I love every time I start these pods when I think it's going to be short. Right now, I say this is going to be our shortest pod ever because it's a short turnaround time. And then you look at the running order. Like everyone listening right now, you know, can see the future, right? They'll see how long this pod is. But in my head, this is under an hour. Yeah. We're just going to, because the matches start and on Tuesday.
Yeah.
There could be a lot of chaos to come anyway, right? So, yeah. You know, we'll see what happens, you know. But hopefully the chaos keeps to a minimum. Hopefully Spurs play on Thursday. Hopefully all the other issues that are out there right now resolve themselves in a fairly low-key way. It sounds like we're in for a hairy couple of weeks. You and I were talking about this before the pod started. You know, I think that this might be something that becomes a massive storm. It kind of blows through the Premier League. And then hopefully by the time January rolls around, we're kind of out the other side of it. You know,
if you could take a guess, Josh, and I want a number from you, what is the volume of in ounces, let's say, of fluids that Ivan Toney has consumed over the last 10 days?
Well, I wonder. I mean, someone who's like, you know, peak prime of their life, 20. I bet he's been like just like it's like he's been in prison, right? I bet he's just been like just like. Running around his apartment, like he's going to score like 4 goals when he gets back out there.
Yeah, we want to see a good COVID beard when you get back, Tony. That's
exactly.
What we want.
So let's, but you know, because the matches start on Tuesday, let's jump right into today's pod. The theme of this week's pod are the 5 biggest dilemmas ahead of game week 17. So we just broke it up into 5 key questions, 5 key things to consider. But you know, let's do a quick recap on game week 16. Brandon, you were not talking about before the pod. You know, it's like, it's not fun to come on here when it's much more fun to come on when you've had a good game week and not as much fun when you've had a bad game week. There's a question from James P, which I felt like I threw it up here because I thought it might resonate with you a little bit. And maybe with other people listening, right? Because there are a lot of people who took minus 12s this week, right? I mean, like that, you know, that was, I mean, FPL Raptor on Twitter did that, right? Like he just had so many, he had triple Spurs. Right? Like, it was just like, what are you going to do?
Don't go into the
like,
tall grass, Raptor. You did it with your minus 12.
Yeah. If you had Ivan Toney, triple Spurs, and Sanchez keeper, right? That's 5 players who would all be out because of COVID in 1 week. Like, there's just no way to resolve that easily. So, you know, I think you and I are both really sympathetic to that, you know, and how,
for sure.
what a pain that would be. You know, you and I both lost players this week for that as well. Not in any way that it's more important than the real life component of it, okay, you know, we're just talking about a game here, so it's like I have to nod at real life, which does exist outside of this podcast.
We see you, real life. We respect you.
Exactly. But James P said, after 10 green arrows to start the season, I've now taken 5 straight red arrows. It's still my best start ever, but I feel worse than I've ever felt. How do we stay positive? What do we do for our teams when everything's going wrong?
Well, I don't know how well I can answer this, Josh, because I'm on 3 very high octane red arrows in a row right now. I've dropped 360,000 places in the last 3 weeks. I've got like strong Carl Havoc, I don't want to be around anymore energy happening in my FPL squad right now. So, you know, I guess like the perspective I'd try to take is you can only move in one direction, not necessarily in the ranks, but you can only move direction in terms of playing the game. You have to pick up the pieces and set a team for the next game week. So it's always forward, forward, forward. This is your only other option, I guess, is to quit playing. And that
if you're listening to this pod, you're not, right?
Like, you're not. And I would never, the reason why I would never encourage anyone, I mean, that there are plenty of vital discussions about mental health and, you know, you have to respect what your body's telling you. But the reason like FPL is so fun and addictive is you're always chasing that next green arrow. And even if you're feeling bad, if you feel like your squad's terrible, you're going to hit that game week, whether it's this coming one or the following one, where you actually do have a good game week. Maybe your rank is miserable. I am not happy with 425K at the moment. Maybe my next green arrow is just like moving up 5,000 spots. That would still doesn't put me in a good position, but that somehow is that's the juice that you need. And I mean, I saw our friend Eric Freeman played a free hit chip this week. He scored 94 points. This is just like out of the clear blue sky, having an incredible, memorable game week. And, you know, it's sports, it's gambling, that the unexpected can happen. And like when you have a bad run, like what James is talking about, what you tend to then expect is bad things. But remember, the unexpected could also be a good thing that happens around the corner.
I think the free hit chip idea is something to think about, because I feel like that wasn't considered enough this weekend with some teams. I mean, if you're looking at a minus 12, you should at least consider the option, the idea of a free hit, right? I mean, if you had three Spurs, you were in a tough spot because there's a chance they were going to play in the Leicester game as well. I think as of right now, we don't know. I mean, I had heard that that there was a training session that took place today with Spurs, like a double session apparently that they ran. So I'm assuming that they're going to field a team for Thursday. That's my thinking right now. I don't know how many people have, you know, Leicester. Some do certainly. And so I
sure
think
as hell won't after this game week.
Yeah, nope. totally understand that. And, you've got Jamie Vardy, and that's just like a total, I mean, just the last 2 weeks have been crazy. But I think, thinking about using those chips a little bit, especially in midweek, if you need them, I think that's a possibility. I think, when I'm having a bad run, the temptation is like, I mean, I think the real solution is just to like actually just get like hyper practical about it, right? And just like immediately be like, all right, what is, like, just fix one problem at a time, right? It's like, you know, not be like, oh, like, whoa, like, you can drown in kind of angst, you know, and it's not productive, right? From a, like, it's not productive in real life either, but it's certainly when it comes to the game, the fantasy as well. It's like, just like, what's the biggest problem right now? You know, you got one transfer, fix that, and then save the other for next week. I feel like the problem that some people get into is they start trying to fix every problem with the minus four or minus eight. And it's always this rationalization. Well, if everything works out, or it's a long-term investment or whatever, but sometimes it just doesn't work out at all. Mm-hmm. And suddenly you're 10 points back from where you would have been if you hadn't just made a hit, you know?
Yeah, it's true. And the free hit discussion of people sort of, like Eric went this way, where most the conventional strategy is I'm not going to use my free hit because I want to use that for a big double game week. Can you imagine though, Josh, that you could take a minus, you could save your free hit and take a minus 12 for game week 16 and try to make it work? Well, what's the difference between that and taking a minus 12 ahead of a double game week? You know what I mean? Like these ideas are somewhat interchangeable.
Well, it's just a tricky one. And so do we want to talk about game week 16? We just want to move on. Do we just go right into game week 17?
I don't know. Let me ask you this question. I think this is the one thing that you and I should talk about coming out of game week 16 is Bernardo Silva and how we feel about us both bringing him in. Like, was the most magical moment of my game week 16 was Bernardo Silva hitting Moutinho in the armpit with the ball, with a cross.
kind of a slightly harsh penalty. The problem with Moutinho was not so much like if his arm had just been lower, you know, it wasn't even that it hit the outstretched arm really, but it was just because his arm was out so much.
Yeah,
right? He's
just making his body that much bigger. And that's fine. I don't want to quibble with the penalty call, but coming out of game week 16, are we feeling happy that we brought Bernardo in? Well, am I an ungrateful pig?
I mean, it cost me 5 points immediately. right? Because I dropped Rafinha for him on a minus four, which was just like, it seemed very, when he got the assist, I was like, well, great. Rafinha's probably going to blank today. And so it's like, well, you know, he's got Leeds and Newcastle next. That is to say, Bernardo does. So this is all going to work out great. And then boom, Rafinha gets a goal like 15 minutes into that match. And then, has like nine more opportunities to pick up points. Like I watched that Chelsea match just like in full panic mode the entire time. Yeah. Cause it's like, I can take like a hit hurting me, but it's like, you don't want it to like destroy, you know, it's like me dropping Gallagher last game week, you know, it's like getting the brace today, you know? So I mean, I'm feeling okay about him because he was rested for that Champions League match. He didn't even travel with the team. So I don't know why. I think there's actually a good chance he starts the next two matches for Man City. And those two matches are Leeds and Newcastle, which are terrific matches. I mean, the bummer for me is that Cancelo is maybe he did it on purpose. I don't really know. But Cancelo's getting his rest for the Leeds match, which at least means he'll be fresh for Newcastle in game week 18. So
Livramento is he's been so far from our thoughts, and I think maybe the Cancelo yellow card allows us to remember what we liked about Livramento for a couple of weeks. So let's try
back
that.
He's back in my bus team right now, like it or not, you know. Mm-hmm. So. I'm in a tricky spot this week. I have to figure the Cancelo news. And I still have Tony, like talk about not fixing your weakest link. You know, yeah. I left Tony in there. And now with Cancelo out, I have two players who were not playing in my 11. So I think I'm probably going to have to drop Tony for somebody. And I don't even know, like, I mean, well, actually we're going to talk one of the five questions will be about forward. So let me, I don't want to preempt that discussion. We'll talk about that in like 5 minutes here, but, yeah, so I actually finished on a pretty good – I ended up on a pretty good week. It was really – it was Rudiger that was hugely helpful for me, the marauding center back himself. He created – like he and Ronaldo both were like created something from nothing this week, right? Like, like Rudiger was just like, let me just get in the box and get in the way of a defender like two different times. You know?
An agent of chaos.
Yeah, total agent of chaos. And and so, you know, getting the nine from him, especially when his you know, effective ownership wasn't super high, that one was really big. And then I brought in Ronaldo for Kane, and Ronaldo, again, gets something from nothing, much like Rudiger. I mean, I don't know. I actually was a little surprised the VAR didn't talk that penalty off, but I guess there was enough contact to keep it, you know.
Give the fans what they want. They want a little Sue action. And you know, that's fine. You know, we're grasping for entertainment here in the Premier League. Even though like just watching the points turn with Chelsea and Liverpool and City all playing on Saturday, and how tightly compact they are at the top of the league. It seems like the other Premier League teams need to get the memo in terms of like the incredible drama that we're all expecting from this league right now.
Yeah. I don't think West Ham has brought a lot of drama the last few weeks. I mean, to their credit, but not today. Today was where the buck stopped with, I'm actually surprised that Burnley hadn't had just some 0-0 home match, right? Like, I feel like that's like their bread and butter. And I feel like it's been years since we saw them just like
a Nick Pope game, even though Nick Pope wasn't asked to make too many saves. And I think the reason Burnley is in jeopardy this season is I think that their defense has continually bailed them out.
Yeah.
And their defense just does not appear to be as good this season as in recent seasons. So I'm with you. I was surprised to see them actually pull out a clean sheet for once against a team with the caliber of attackers that West Ham has. They just, I don't know. Like Jesse Lingard in January seems like an imperative at this point for West Ham. Hmm. If they can finally break this Old Trafford spell that's been put on Jesse Lingard.
I thought you were going to say Burnley. And I was like, yeah. Bring it.
I mean, but you're mentioning agents of chaos. I think that is what West Ham is missing right now. Antonio, I think he just needs to recharge those chaos batteries a little bit.
I would say Benrahma is an agent of chaos, but in a bad way. Right. I think he's an agent of it is chaos, but it's just not the fun chaos. He's kind of doing his own thing sometimes out there.
All right, let's jump to the always cheating Super League, Josh, so that we can move on to our five questions for game week 17. The top 10 in the Super League right now: Kevin Walsh in 10th place, followed by Kingsley Fox, Khalid Music in 8th, 7th, it's Avinash Jagtap in 6th, Julian Fortuna, Pepe Curly in 5th. What a name, Pepe Curly.
Yeah, a lot of good names. Kingsley Fox, too. Those are some strong names.
Stuart Dudley in 4th. Ryan Quinn, who is top of our Patreon league, is in 3rd place. And in 2nd, Andrew Glushkoff and the man, the myth, the legend, Daniel Mason Abraham, holding it down in 1st position. If you want to join the Always Cheating Super League, just head to alwayscheating.com. The league code is right there.
Yep. And yeah, and thank you for everybody on the feedback regarding our new logo, which you, if you're listening right now, you can look down at your phone or mm-hmm. laptop or car dashboard or whatever, and you can see it. And thanks to our friends at Blue Air for giving that to us. I thought it looked really cool. We gave them hilariously, you did, Brandon, give them hilariously detailed instructions. Yeah. Basically, we were like, look at every logo for every single football/soccer podcast out there. We don't want it to look like any of them.
Yeah.
And he actually pulled it off, or she. Yeah. I don't even know if it was a male or female designer. You know, it was went into the ether and came back to us. So
yeah, awesome. It could be an alien from another galaxy who who doesn't even recognize our binary society.
So this is December Pledge Month. If you are doing well right now, or if the podcast has been a source of some entertainment and joy for you this year and you are not yet a Patreon supporter, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. It's a way to say thank you and get bonus podcasts. Bonus podcasts are especially crucial during the busy festive fixtures. We'll be doing one after Game Week 17 concludes, but before Game Week 18 kicks off this weekend. So that's just one practical way that the podcast really helps. And, you know, and also it's just a way to say thank you and talk to people on the Slack. And the Slack was really active this week. I jumped on there multiple times. Brandon, you got some grief on the Slack. Those guys were like really, they were going at you, you know, and I think you've got some scores to settle. This is going to be like John Wick style. You know, you're going to go in there with, you know.
We'll see. We'll see.
Headshots, I mean, this week.
It was a big week for me in the Patreon community as I fell out of the last cheater standing league. So I think that was what all the commentary was about. And listen, I'm not going to show up to receive a bunch of body blows from Patreon supporters.
No.
I'm going to hide under a rock and you'll see me in a month.
No, Thursday night when you've had a big bounce back game week 14, you can find every single player in that league who your rank is higher than and just, you know, go after them, you know. Mm-hmm. All right. So anyway, patreon.com/alwayscheating where you can go. I want to say a thanks to our new patrons, new producer patron Alex Holcomb and three other new patrons, Stephanie Marquis, Pat Riley, which is awesome, Brandon. I mean, one of the great coaches.
The LA Lakers coach.
NBA history. and Eric Nies Onstad. So thank you so much to all of our new patrons. And yeah, especially you, Pat. I want to get down for a Miami Heat game soon. So maybe you can help us secure some tickets.
I want some hair mousse as well. That's what I want.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Brandon, you're making fun of our newest patron. You know, you got to be careful there. Anyway, thank you to everyone for supporting the pod. We're going to take a break. We'll get back with our 5 key questions.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, Brandon, we're back. Today's topic, as discussed above, the five biggest FPL dilemmas ahead of game week 17. Question one, this is not a fun question, but it feels like a necessary question, okay? Mm-hmm. How bad is COVID about to mess everything up, and what can we do as FPL managers to prepare for it? This question from FPL Wannabe said, with COVID sweeping through the FPL, with COVID sweeping through the Premier League, is it time to have a full playing squad of 15 and limit ourselves to two players per club, rolling transfers whenever possible?
Well, the playing bench is simple, and I think the game has given us good options below 4.5. And just thinking about Josh Brownhill got a rest. He's my fifth mid. He got a rest today, but I don't think that means he lost his spot. I believe Corky, whatever his name is probably going to make way midweek. He's 4.4. Mm-hmm. Ben White in a really solid Arsenal defense, 4.4. Dalot at 4.4. Exactly. You can fill your bench with excellent playing options that are not going to screw up your budget. So that's easy. This is an interesting point, though, about the only having two players from each squad to sort of mitigate the risk in case a fixture gets postponed. What do you think about this, Josh? Because I think that makes logical sense. But if a fixture is postponed, it's not just affecting one club; it's affecting two clubs. Yeah. And then how are you figuring that? And you can't roll that strategy from game week to game week. There's at least, if you have just two players from each squad, you could have at minimum four players at risk in your side by that logic each game week.
The real in some ways I feel like the way to prepare yourself is there's not a strategy, you're kind of getting at this. There's not like an actual strategy. It's a mental approach that you have to take, which is that you might get completely hosed any week in the next several game weeks. And it's like, and you just have to be like, you know what, this is not fun. Like it's not fair. It's not like, you know, this is not like a board game, right? It's not like in Risk, you wouldn't suddenly like elbow like 10, you know, cavalry off the board and be like, sorry. Like, you know, it's like, that's just how life is, sure. You know? This is a fluid game. And we're basically gambling on outcomes of matches that haven't been played yet. Right. So there's only so much strategy you can do in that case. So I think it's just like, you just have to remember that there's a massive global pandemic that is really hard to, even harder than everyone thought it was going to be, right? Eradicate. And, it's the holidays. And I hope everyone's having as much fun and doing what they can right now. And
festive.
Yeah. It's a festive Brandon. Exactly. And it's like, and just like, you know, doing whatever your level of like risk tolerance is, right? Like for some people listening, it's super high, for others it's not, you know? And it's just like, but like, it's not fair. And like, that's the mental approach you have to like, just be like, you know what? It's not fair, but it is what it is. And it's really hard to prepare for. And I'm not sure that there's a great strategy because like you said, you know, first of all, I have three Liverpool players. This is the only team that I have three players from. It's probably true of most people listening to this podcast. I'm not going to drop Jota or something to like get down to two, right? So there's really no, maybe you've had three Chelsea players. I mean, we'll talk about Chelsea in a second. Like maybe you go to two, but it's like, you just don't know, you know? And so it's like, and also like, if you were to, it's like, okay, here, let me reframe the question. If you had two players from a team and you were thinking about getting a third from that team, would that kind of risk of losing three players from one team, if a match got canceled, dissuade you at all from bringing them in?
No, because if I were considering getting three players from one team, it would be a really good team. like Liverpool, for example? And why are you looking to get three players from that team? Because there were so many points available.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, what the point you were making about risk. It's a risk worth taking at that point if you're looking at getting Salah, Trent, plus another Liverpool defender, or Jota, assuming Jota plays a good match, plays a good match.
Yeah, he could. Oh my God, Salah could have had an assist, and he would have had a But actually, I guess it was that lack of sharpness is why he didn't start, right? Because he was not sharp.
So I think that is the game, essentially, as you're saying, Josh. Is no, I think it. You probably want to risk these COVID issues because there is you'll miss out on upside if you allow yourself to be too conservative because of what may possibly happen that is out of your control.
Yeah. I mean, it's because you just don't know. And it's not a good strategy to plot for some, like to plan for something you can't really plan for, because there's no, like, it's like, it sounds good in theory, but on a practical level, there's really no way to do it.
How many times, Josh, have you been, I guess I'll speak for myself, Josh, I'll use an I statement here. How many times have I been risk averse and planned a flight layover that's like 4 hours long because of the anxiety of, well, what if there's a delay on the initial leg of the journey and then I'll be strapped for time?
Yeah.
Virtually every time you end up stuck in an airport with nothing to do except drink terrible beer and eat terrible pizza. So that's kind of like what we're talking about with COVID strategy here is you don't want to end up stuck in the middle of nowhere in an airport just because you didn't have the guts to get three players from Liverpool.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I was trying to think what the equivalent of that would be in FPL. I guess it's like having Sissoko start in your team or something like that. It's like, that's the layover option, but it's not that bad. It's better than paying, you know. But
Sissoko is the mass market airport paperback of FPL assets.
He really is. He had a chance. He had one moment in that Watford game. He got pulled back and they got a free kick from it. And just, you know, to be like specific about some of the COVID stuff, there have been rumors that there might be a couple issues at Brentford, rumors that there are a couple issues at Aston Villa now. There have been rumors about Leicester, although they ended up feeling a full team this week. Obviously, you have what's going on at Spurs right now. Man United, there's been some rumors there as well, although apparently everybody who traveled to the Norwich match tested negative, although that was like, you know, yesterday. So so we'll see. So, I mean, these are all just like it's very speculative. And so it's not super helpful to spend a lot of energy worrying about this. And here's what I was going to say, Brendan, earlier. Sorry.
Yeah, go on.
I mean, very rambly right now, but, you know, I took a -4 this week. You know, it cost me 5 points, net 5 points, I should say. Obviously, there's the 4-point hit itself. And I still ended up in a green arrow this week. I mean, the thing is, like, if chaos is going to really rip through the Premier League, it is probably going to affect virtually everybody. I mean, someone's going to pop on Twitter and be like, I might not even use my transfer this week, right? Like, there's always going to be somebody who sails through Scylla and Charybdis, Brandon, you know, like in the Odyssey, and comes out the other side.
That's pull there, Josh.
I don't know where that came from, but yeah, some people will get through it, but the vast, vast, vast majority of us will crash on the shores or the rocks of the COVID stuff and injuries and all the other million in rotation, all the other million things that are going to happen. And so, yeah, it's like, just, you know, if you feel like you're getting screwed, it's like you and everybody else. Right. And so I think that's like just remember that. And I think in most cases, I mean, you know, if you just have nobody, if you're just going to get zero, then I would consider a massive hit. But in general, I don't see a massive hit being worthwhile, especially because there might be even more chaos down the line. So it's not even like you can sort of feel confident that your massive hit's going to pay off over 4 weeks, because you just don't know what's going to happen the next few weeks. So
I wish I knew, Josh. Where's Biff with my sports almanac?
Exactly. That'd be so useful right now, wouldn't it?
things I wish I would have known from that sports almanac from the future is that Reece James, when I brought him into my fantasy team, would get a like 1-0-0-0. It's like the returns on Reece James the last 4 weeks have been utterly confounding, which leads us to question two ahead of game week 17. What do we do with Chelsea defenders? Jeff Petter asks, are we done with Reece 1 point in 4 weeks, James? Now, you have Reece James, and Josh, the double up has worked really well for you with Rüdiger, because Rüdiger has picked up the slack for James and Chilwell over the last month. And
I'd say the whole Chelsea team. Really.
Perhaps that's true. And the double up anywhere else, like I have Reece James and Mendy, and the less said, the better. So how are you feeling about Reece James right now? I mean, I can't imagine you'd even consider getting rid of Rüdiger, which seems like madness from where we were a month ago, where Reece James seemed like the undroppable option.
Yeah. I mean, I think Rüdiger, by the way, is like a total like blue chip stock, like FPL asset, where it's just like, you just like throw him in your team and he's the left-sided center back on that team. There's very little players for him to rotate with, and he wants to attack, you know? And so it's just like, that's like, I feel like he's like one of the safest players you can have in fantasy, you know, just like really like, he's like, you know, kind of Van Dijk levels of just like, if he's healthy, he's gonna start, you know. But I think with James, I mean, it's just, I guess like it's you know, his form has probably dipped a little bit. They cannot find a forward like that. Lukaku must really be struggling to come back from this injury, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like that must be why he's, you know, only playing like 20 minutes at a time. But I mean, Werner was anonymous, right? I couldn't even believe it. Was like there's a moment 40 minutes in, you're like, oh right, Timo Werner started this match. Yeah. Like just, you know, obviously,
it's we're at the point with Timo where it's just not interesting to talk about him. Even.
That is so true. And Kai Havertz is just a weird one too, because I really highly rate him as a player, but it just doesn't feel like Havertz as forward, right? Seems like the answer there, at least not with this club. And you know, and so then you're just basically relying on the midfielders. And I mean, the thing about Reece James, he's on like all these free kicks, he's super attacking still. He's you know, he's throwing crosses into the box. I mean, Azpilicueta had a kind of a poor match, and you know, I didn't walk out of that thinking, oh man, like Reece James is about to lose his job to Ospi. I mean, he might get rotated. He'll get rotated a little more than like Rüdiger will, for sure. It could even happen at midweek. It would not be shocking at all. I mean, unfortunately, but I think that. I don't really see with all the other things going on right now, Reece James is like, I mean, it's fluky, you know, and it's like, it's not fun. But I just don't see moving him as like any kind of like urgent, you know, issue.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's an urgent issue. And I think he is just like he will be a case study in a lot of managers losing patience with him, and he will, you know, at the minimum, deliver a 6-pointer in the next couple of weeks. And you know, the conversation will either cease or will change to a positive one around Reece. He's just not one of those players that you really need to worry about. I had this issue with Cancelo like 8 weeks ago, where I lost my faith in the City defense. I had the double up with Cancelo and Diaz. And
your faith was shaken.
It was shaken to the core. And I just bombed all of them out of my team. And it blew up in my face, because I think these, particularly the top of the table teams who are fighting on multiple fronts, they see rotation, they see lots of wild fluctuations in form based on like the all those different fronts that they're fighting on. So I've worried a little bit about Chelsea, in that they're like, they seem to be flagging. They couldn't. Yeah. They were the one Premier League team that couldn't manage to finish top of their Champions League group, and now they're worrying about flagging in the Premier League table. But that said, the players are still that good. The team is that good, and I think coming out of the festive period, you know, you'll be happy you have them.
I mean, if you had no like. I don't think that Reece James is undroppable, right? I mean, I feel like if you had no other I mean, I guess the way I'm sort of seeing it is like, there's all these kind of, I have problems to solve and I anticipate more problems coming, right? And so moving him is low on the list, but I guess if my team just looked awesome and I felt really confident and everything was good and I needed like an extra million to bring in a Man City midfielder or something, like I would not burn points to do it. That's for sure. Yeah. You know, but if it was, if I had two free transfer, you know, it's like, I'm trying to like invent a situation where
would you turn, how about here's another imagined situation. Would you turn Reece James into Rüdiger if you only had one Chelsea defender and no other issues in your team?
No, I mean, I don't like that kind of lateral move, you know? I mean, it just, I mean, I don't know. Maybe if I had two transfers and one, I was, you know, like, it was like, I kind of had the luxury of doing a lateral move. Maybe I would consider it, because I do think he's going to get more starts than Reese over the festive fixture. It's a good question. Maybe I answered it too fast, but I just don't think I would do it.
I agree. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I agree with you. I align with you there. I think it's just, I, as I said, have the Mendy Reese James pairing, and it's hard after a month with just one point with Reese to not think about the points that you may have feel like you missed out on.
So many of the goals they've conceded are fluky goals. You know, I mean, the second Leeds goal was not, that was an awesome goal. And yeah. I think I said to you in last week's podcast that I felt like I was getting too caught up in fantasy and not enjoying the match last weekend with West Ham. And I did not do that again this time. Like this time it was like Leeds scored that goal. And I was like, this is cool. Like,
I was thrilled to finally see Gelhard get his goal, because I think he has been such a baller for Leeds this season. And I think he should be getting more he's on his way to getting more recognition, and I love it, because I think he's a great player.
Yeah. I wonder if he'll start. I mean, he's a 4.5 million forward, so it'd be really cool if he started to earn some more minutes, especially if Bamford's out for a while. Yeah. One final thing on Chelsea is Kovacic was back from injury, and then he got COVID. So he's scheduled to come back like next weekend. It's like the weekend of the 19th. So when he's back, I think that will stabilize things a little bit, because that midfield has just been rocked without Kovacic and Conte. And I think that'll make a big difference. So, all right, let's move on to question number three. Are we closer to solving the striker dilemma, even in the short term? And so, you know, what I often do, Brendan, for these podcasts, by the way, is we get a lot of very similar questions. So I like to just pluck one out, you know, that sort of gets at what's going on here. And so it's from Ben Gauthier. He says, I need a third striker besides Watkins and King to replace Vardy. Anyone and everyone is on the table. Who should it be? Now, I know that you're replacing Vardy. I'm in a position where I am strongly, because I'm not going to drop Cancelo, especially when they play, you know, Newcastle next weekend, where I would really like to replace Ivan Toney. Yeah. And so I am thinking about forwards as well. You have Vardy and you want to drop him. So what are your thoughts right now? Who would be a good, you know, I mean, this is like the question we've been trying to answer all season. So it's not like there's an easy answer, but who are you thinking about as a possible Vardy replacement?
I've already made my Vardy move, because we record a Sunday evening. We usually jump online a little after 8 p.m. here Eastern Standard Time, and price changes happen shortly after that. So I saw that Vardy was dropping, Watkins was going up. Watkins is just straight up eye test.
And, he looked good in that football game, I thought.
Yeah, he's strong, he's fit. Danny Ings is clearly not favored by either Liverpool or by either Villa manager this season. So I feel good about that move. And the exciting thing about going Vardy to Watkins is that's another 2+ million in my bank to beef up my midfield. So I did some surgery that I don't regret the surgery that I made in my midfield going into game week 16, but it seemed like a Band-Aid and not a cure.
Yeah.
So I think Andre Gray moving up to, now I have the funds with this Vardy to Watkins move to move Gray to somebody like Mount.
Damari Gray, by the way, you're thinking of the old Watford striker, right?
Andre. Yes. The other Gray, Gray. Too many Grays. Earl Gray should also be in contention here. So, yeah, I just think if you look at Villa's upcoming fixtures, they're also great. You know, they're playing Norwich away in game week 17, followed by Burnley at home, Chelsea in game week 19. Leeds was able to put two goals past them, and they're playing them at home, followed by Leeds and Brentford, two pretty porous defenses there as well. So the fixtures are there, the form is there. I think that has to be top of your list. Who else would you put up there with Watkins?
I'm with you. I think that if I had the money, Watkins would be the player I'd go for too. I mean, he ticks a lot of boxes. Fixtures, cheap, low ownership. Right. I mean, I think this time of year, like, it's one way to battle frustration is to just bring in a player that nobody else has. Right. And just be like, all right, well, like, I mean, I don't even know what Watkins ownership is right now, but I bet it's like, Okay, I'm going to pull it up right now. Guess before you look, Brendan, how much do you think Watkins costs in FPL?
Well, I just bought him, so I know. He costs 7.5.
What is his ownership?
You said it's low. I actually didn't look at what his ownership was before I bought him. I'm going to say 11%.
6.4%.
Okay. All right. That's good. Yeah. I like my odds there.
Yeah. I don't know what his, top 100K effective ownership is or whatever, but I can't imagine it's higher than 10%. So, I think, it's like we did this a couple of weeks ago. We ran through all 20 teams and we were basically like, yep, not a lot of options there. That's still true. I think that a couple of the players that I am possibly considering are Neil Maupay, who is sort of like, one of the real whipping boys of fantasy. He has scored 6 goals this season and 6 goals in 14 matches for them. I mean, that's not a terrible return for a 6 million.
He scores
forward.
Big goals too. I think that's what I like to see out of forward options is, Maupay will screw up many a play, but when, not every time, but a lot of times you see that he has a little bit of Divock Origi in him, Josh.
There's a little bit of, that is true. He also has a little bit of, Divock Origi when he starts in him, so it's a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. And I he's a contender. I think a Pookie I would throw up. It's a lot of I think the real question is, how much money, do you want to spend that money somewhere else? Yeah. Right. Because there's not a lot of great options in that kind of 6.5 million or cheaper range. I mean, I brought in Emmanuel Denny, and we sort of talked about it last week, and it was like a real, it felt like a coin flip between him and King. King had a big chance late too. But then it was like, the one thing we didn't anticipate when we had that discussion was that they were going to swap spots, suddenly.
Sure. We would have predicted that.
Yeah, exactly. Just suddenly they're going to be like, oh, yeah, actually, you're going to be the striker now and King's going to be on the left wing. Yeah. That's a total reverse of what they've been doing. So, which does make it more valuable, although he also scored a
Josh header. King got Captain Phillips'd. And Denny said, I'm the striker now. And
but Denny also scored like a header on a corner kick, right?
What? Having brought in Josh King this week, that was the Friday fixture, first of the game week. I immediately knew this game week is over.
Sometimes you just know, don't you? You just know one match in that you're just like in trouble. It's like you can only have one player,
I hate having King now because of the immediate points damnation that I took there.
Sure.
But I'm actually quite positive in staying the course with him and with Denny as well, because Watford's fixtures are Burnley and Palace, I would just say, in the next two. Yep. Wolves is an interesting fixture, and I call that out because you mentioned Neil Maupay. And Brighton host Wolves in game week 17. And Wolves, this is how Bruno Lage seems like he thinks he's going to earn his job at Wolverhampton is to go the Scott Parker route and get nil nils for the rest of the season. So I'm a little concerned about Brighton.
Who knew that Matt Doherty was the only thing keeping that team fun?
They were so much more rock and roll in that moment when it was the first season that they came up, and it was Doherty and Jota and Jimenez all high flying. Mm-hmm. So I'm a little worried about that Brighton matchup with Wolves, because Brighton just aren't scoring a lot of goals, and then they come up against a defensive resurgent Manchester United in game week 18. Brighton does.
Yeah, I mean that's the worry with Brighton is that it's you just it's like you especially right now, I don't want to be buying somebody with only one good fixture. He does play Brentford. Maupay, that is, plays Brentford a week after that, but then they play Chelsea away right after that. So, it's two out of four. It's not great. The one thing I'll say about Dennis, by the way, or Denny, is that there's some African Cup of Nations stuff. For one thing, I don't think he'll get called, if he gets called up at all, which is still arguable. He was not expected to get called up, but then they just fired their his national team just fired their manager. So he may get called up now, possibly. But even if he does, that's probably 5 game weeks from now, right? It'd be after game week 21. I am not thinking. I never try to think that far ahead unless I'm making a keeper transfer or something. Like, it's like, just don't think about what's going to happen 6 weeks from now. I just don't think that's like valuable FPL strategy. It's really, you end up overlooking really good assets because you're worried about a transfer you might have to make in 6 weeks time, right. You know? So, so I think, you know, the other options, I actually think Pookie has looked kind of good and kind of dangerous, and it's probably a little unlucky not to come away with any returns. You know, I sort of was like almost talking myself into Benteke, and then he got benched again. So I guess he's just sort of off the table.
I will say this about Pookie, because I like that shout, because watching Norwich recently. So Pookie had his brief moment in the sun when Norwich were last up in the Premier League. But what I think is different now is Pookie realizes he is the only player who can keep that team up this season.
Yeah.
Not that they're not already down. And I think that he, over the last month, has been playing more and more like that talisman, more and more like that player who's like, I am the only one who can do this. And I don't think we saw that particularly from Pookie, even if he was having a better season the last time Norwich were in the Premier League. So I like that about Pookie.
Yeah. And they're up to 10 points. They're tied with Newcastle. They're only three back from Watford, actually, in 17th. So, I mean, I agree with you. I find it hard to imagine them going down, but they're only 3 points away from safety, which is, which is, you know, higher than you'd, better than we would have expected a month ago. That's for sure. I think that, what do you think about the King Dennis double up?
I don't dislike it. I don't dislike it because, you know, I'm trying to ride this wave of optimism, and King had his chances in that Brentford match. Right.
Yep.
And it didn't go his way. And if he can be fluid with that, playing in the number nine with Denny, then maybe we see them swap it up again in the following game. I do believe the points will come for Josh King. I also believe that Denny is just, this is
really good form.
He's in such good form. And I think he's in such good form that what is undeniable is he's just a really good player.
Yeah.
And you're going to get value for that money.
And a great mustache. It doesn't get talked about enough.
He looks like the coolest guy on the pitch.
He's the new Juan Mata. Like, I'm like, if I could hang out with anybody, I think it'd be, I want to see what he's like. And also, he's like a bowling ball. I mean, he's just like talk about agents of chaos. He's definitely in the agents of chaos 11. Yeah. You know,
I think he is a bowling ball. I do think he's also got a really good touch on the ball too. So it's like a mixture of bowling ball and actually quite good on the ball.
Yeah.
So the double up, just as we mentioned, the immediate short-term fixtures for Watford, Burnley and Palace. So yeah, see what happens. Yeah. I don't think there's a stronger case to be made for other strikers, but that leads me to the one guy we haven't mentioned, which is Mikel Antonio. Sure. I felt like I was going to ride the Antonio out campaign. Mm-hmm. I was going to ride through that, and now I have Antonio as a differential. Yeah. And having watched West Ham on Sunday, they looked pretty offensively impotent, I will say that.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure it was the best move to stick with Antonio. So what's your read on that situation? And also, fixture pileup, how long are these hamstrings going to remain intact?
I know. I think about that too. I mean, the thing about Antonio is once you get past 17, it really is a nice run. I mean, Norwich, Southampton, Watford, Palace, and the four to come. You'd think he would get some kind of returns. I mean, part of the problem for me actually is I don't have a great way to bring him back in at the moment. I kind of have to hope that West Ham, I mean, yeah, it's like I have to, he has not been in great form. I continue to think that the midfield is not helping him out very much, that he's not getting a lot of help.
Jesse Lingard's going to come in. And I think that he needs a partner in crime the way Ben Rama was for 2 weeks, basically, at the start of the season.
I know. I have not been totally sold on Bowen as an FPL asset. Like the Bowen momentum got,
The momentum
just skyrocketed a couple weeks ago, but I'm still not totally feeling that. All right, well let's keep going here, Brandon. Question number four. I gotta pull it up here. I got distracted. Question number four: is Ronaldo, speaking of forwards, worth the cash? And by order of FPL says, if we're all captain Sal anyway, is it even worth having another premium, i.e. Ronaldo? We better spreading that money around. He says, I got excited about owning Ronaldo this week for versus Norwich, and then he scored the same number of points as Denny.
Well, I mean, what you would say to that, Josh, I suspect, is why not both? Ronaldo and Denny equals 18 points, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, you're exactly. I mean, you're paying for consistency, right? Yeah. That's what the premium is for. It's hard to find consistency at any spot in your team. And yeah, like maybe you could, you know, the spreading your money around thing, sometimes I feel like it gets overblown. You know, it's like, It's not like you're like, you know, if you're on a wild card, like you're not really like putting 2 million into four different spots or whatever. You know, it's like you're going to put into one or two other places. It doesn't really, you know, like over long term maybe, but like in the short term, it doesn't really work.
I agree. I think for that fact of consistency, Ronaldo is worth it. And there will be a moment when Egypt is playing in the African Cup of Nations, which we were just mentioning with Denny. Mo Salah is 1,000,000% getting called up and going to that tournament. Yep. And who are you going to call? Ghostbusters when that happens. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you have Ronaldo, you've already got a captainable option right there. And if I had the money right now for Ronaldo, it's a pretty good chance I would have brought him in over Ollie Watkins.
I figured. I think you're kind of in a good spot because I think that Watkins could kind of get close. I mean, this could sound hilarious in a week's time, right? Uh-huh. You know, but I think that he could get close enough that it's sort of, you get to be a little different, you know, with your money. I mean, it's like going Ronaldo sounds good and going Watkins and spreading the money around sounds good too. You know,
Agreed.
But I mean, that to me is the answer. It's just, I just want a forward who can score goals. And I don't know that he's like the only one who can do it really. Like outside of Emmanuel Dennis, I guess. I mean, that's not going to last. Like, you know, I think Emmanuel Dennis is great. He's playing in really great form. He's got a great mustache. You and I are both big fans. We want to go have a beer with him. Clearly.
Hit us up, Denny. Yeah. Hit us up.
Yeah. In 5 weeks time, like who knows, you know, it's like he could be like gone. We never talk about him again. Mm-hmm. Like that's, but with Ronaldo, it's never going to go away. Right. Because he just scores goals out of nothing, you know? And so that's what you're paying for. Mm-hmm. So, all right, let's move on to the last question, Brandon. Question number 5 is, are we buying any of the following emerging performers? Okay. And I'm going to name off these performers. Actually, why don't we alternate? I'll do the first one. You do the second.
Okay.
I'll do the third. You do the fourth.
Sure.
And you just tell me, are you buying their performance? Would you consider them in fantasy? Mm-hmm.
Okay. So first name here is James Madison. And I almost read that name, not as James Madison, but as cognitive bias. And I've done that before. I'm not doing it again. Does that mean that I can predict whether James Madison's form will continue or not? I think the one point in James Madison's favor is that Tielemans is back and healthy. Mm-hmm. And Madison, his issue is that he can't Jack Grealish it. He cannot do it on his own in the midfield.
Yep.
So if he can play with Tielemans, I think that's good. But I've got history with this man.
It's hard to blank slate with him. He always feels like there's like a little more flash than you want. Like it's like it feels like he's a player who could be like a 14 goal, 10 assist kind of player. And it's like if he wanted it a little. I mean, like, listen, I don't mean to like read into this guy's soul. Like for all I know, he absolutely burns to play football and doesn't. It just seems like he always like feels very conscious of how his hair looks or whatever on the pitch.
Sure.
And, you know, that it, like I get a vibe from him.
Yeah,
you know?
I see the vibe. I also think there's a version of James Madison where he's a little too cerebral. Like when he was hitting a good patch of form last season, he was talking endlessly about he was in cahoots with Brendan Rodgers talking about strategy and tactics. Mm-hmm. And he does seem like he is very thoughtful about the game and how he plays the game. Mm-hmm. But the downside of that is that is you can slow down the way that you play when it is not as instinctive. You can play within yourself and it blows up. And I think Madison is prone to that. I also think, yes, he's prone to the flash as well. So it's just like a bad cocktail.
And I mean, you know, the returns in the last four game weeks are obviously insane, right? 16, yeah. 10, 1, and 16. I mean, that's what, 43 points, averaging more than 10 points a match. But again, you got to look at what happened, right? Watford at home, Newcastle at home. You will not get two better fixtures the entire season than those two fixtures. That's where 32 of those points came from. He's not going to have a chance to play those teams at home again, again this season, right? So yeah. I think, you know, I'm not totally buying it either, because it never lasts with him. And why would we expect it to last now when it never has before? Like, did he have, like,
if anything, Leicester has gotten worse. Something?
Yeah, exactly. And it's like they're like unsettled right now. I mean, the Vardy thing is just like, it's just weird, right? Like, who would have thought, like, in Villa and Newcastle last two, that he played 25 total minutes. Yeah. I mean, just kind of a fluky thing, I think, because they had to win that Europa League match.
Precisely.
He played 90, and they lost anyway. And then they rest him. And then Daka scores, right? Daka's like, who's looked like,
he's great.
Completely awesome all season, you know?
It was not supposed to end this way for Jamie Vardy, Josh, but it's just like a bad sequence of events, bad sequence of timing.
I'm a big Daka fan. I think next season, like, you know, if we should have like a pod second half of the season where we just talk about players that we think are going to be awesome next year, you know?
I
think that Daka is one of those ones who would, that's like a good international break combo. No one steal that now that I've floated that on the pod.
That's our IP now. All right, who's next on this list?
Next number on this is Diogo Dalo, the cheap Manchester United defender, right back.
I mean, why not, right? I sure. Genuinely think this, if I feel strongly about any emerging FPL bandwagon, it would be the Manchester United defense, because they have always had the tools. It's kind of like the entire United squad.
Yep.
The tools are there. They just didn't really have anything leading them. And now they can it seems like they can organize themselves. So Dalo at 4.4 feels like, particularly the discussion we were having earlier about shoring up your bench for COVID and rotation.
Yeah.
Dalo is an easy win, I think, there.
I think so too. Even he jumped up to 4.5, I don't know, today or yesterday. Okay. Yeah, apparently. I just looked a second ago. I mean, the Wan-Bissaka thing, it's just like we were kind of heading this way for a couple of years, right? I mean, he's like, Wan-Bissaka would have these games where he just like just picks every opposing attacker's pocket and looks brilliant. But the guy just can't cross, you know? I mean, he's just not a great attacker. And it's just very hard for a top four level club to have a player who can only have a defender, have one of your backs not be able to attack. And that's, I think that finally caught up with them. So, and now he's injured anyway, so it's not really, you know, super relevant. All right, number three. This is one I think is a little trickier, although maybe the answer is obvious. Martin Odegaard. What do you think about Odegaard?
Oh, this is an easy pass for me. Yeah. And I do want to couch this in, I continue to be pro Arteta. I think Arsenal should be applauded for moving in the right direction. There seems to be a cohesive strategy there. I like the way Odegaard is playing and the way he fits into the system. But these are everything that I have just said exists entirely outside of fantasy Premier League. And I would first go back to, I just transferred Bakayo Saka out of my team, Josh. Mm-hmm. I would still rather have Saka over Odegaard at this point. And I desperately wanted to get rid of Saka last week.
At least he got a yellow card. You know, that's like, sometimes like when you transfer to a player and they do something, you're like, just get a yellow card. Don't get bonus points. Do something. Throw me a bone here, you know? especially because Smith Rowe is not that much more expensive, right? 0.6 million, but we're still talking about a 6 million player. And now that he's back from, you know, I mean, I know he didn't start this last weekend, but now that he's unflagged, I would expect him to be the starter, you know, in virtually all key matches. So you just go for the real attacking number 10 option there. Although he has, I mean, 3 goals in 3 matches is impressive, and he's 5.4 million. So I don't think he's like a horrible option. Like, if you need someone super cheap to fund a different move or whatever, like I don't hate him, you know, for that reason. But I think, oh, by the way, just shout out to me for going on last week's pod and telling everybody to take a zero pointer on Sanchez rather than burn four to bring in someone like Aaron Ramsdale or what's his name? The Man United keeper.
David De Gea.
I don't know how I forgot his name for a second there. Or De Gea.
Earl Grey.
Yeah, Ramsdale picked up 11 points. De Gea picked up 10. So in both cases, a minus four would have been gigantic.
Imagine playing both, Josh. Go for the double up.
Yeah, exactly. So apologies for that. Typically, I don't think a minus four for a keeper is a good move, especially when that keeper's going to be back the following week.
But, I challenge our listeners to find a podcast out there that's predicting goalkeeper returns. I mean, I guess they could probably find what they could this week. week after week, I doubt it.
Yeah, it's hard to pull. Yeah. The final player on this emerging performers list, emerging FPL performers, I should say, is Raheem Sterling, which I think is kind of an interesting one. I mean, it's interesting.
I agree. I think he definitely piques my interest more than James Maddison and Odegaard, and it's the volume. It's like, I love this discussion of Manchester City, and just like anything is possible in fantasy with Manchester City just because of the volume of attacking chances that they create.
Yeah.
So you can make a case for the fantasy managers developed an actual bandwagon for Bernardo Silva. You know, go back 6 months.
You and I jumped on board.
we're only ticket holders. We're not the conductors of that bandwagon, that's for sure. And the likes of Gundogan, et cetera. Raheem Sterling has got the track record, but he's been so out of form. And it seems like he's back. It seems like Pep has some relationship and trust with him again. So I think that rotation is going to be something that hangs over the heads of managers as they consider City assets over the next month.
Yeah.
But that said, you know, it is that volume of chances, and somebody in the form that Sterling is, I like him better than Maddison or Odegaard here.
God. The Foden owners must be so frustrated, right? It's like, he's so good. You know, like, he's such a great player. He's cheap. Like when he's out there, he looks dangerous every minute of the match. And at the end of we're you know, 16 matches into the season, he's got 3 goals and 3 assists and misses tons of matches, battled minor injuries, you know, all season long, starts the wrong fixtures, you know, from a fantasy perspective. It's just like, Silva is almost like a process of elimination, you know, pick, especially with Gundogan now injured. I think actually, you know, Gundogan being injured or sounds like he's going to be injured probably makes me feel even better about Silva, right? Because it's hard for me to imagine Silva being benched either of the next two matches because I just think they're going to need him no matter where he plays on the pitch. It may hurt his positioning a little bit, but his position is bizarre anyway. Uh-huh. Like, you know, it's like he was playing all over the place in you know, Saturday's match.
The beauty of him is even if Silva, his best feature, I think, is his dribbling ability.
Yeah.
And it's almost like if you put him in the middle of the pitch and his job is to break through a couple of tackles and hold the ball, suddenly he goes from a deep lying midfielder to he's broken a few tackles and he's on the ball at the 18. And now that he's in scoring form, great. I'm into it. I'm so into it.
I'm into it too. Over Sterling too, right?
I mean, because that's the thing with Sterling is he's 10.6 million. The only way you could logically bring Sterling into your squad is if you, for whatever reason, still had Son and you wanted to drop Son. And then I think that's an interesting, fun move to Sterling.
We could, in 5 weeks when AFCON starts, we could maybe talk about Salah to Sterling, if we want Salah out. You know, I was really worried about that, and now there's talk that he may play through the January 2nd fixture with the Chelsea Liverpool match, which would be game week 21. And after that, you've got like a couple of breaks built in, so he may only miss two matches. And if I was going to keep Ivan, if I was going to keep Ivan Toney for two matches, I can keep, I can keep, you know, Salah for two. So, I mean, it's because like the problem is you're going to have to bring him back immediately, right? I mean, we'll talk about that in a few weeks. I don't want to get distracted with Salah talk. All right, so let's take one final break. We'll get back and do one final post-break discussion.
Spring is here, and you can now get almost anything you need for your sunny days delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? Well, you can't get a well-groomed lawn delivered, but you can get a chicken parmesan delivered. A cabana? That's a no. But a banana? That's a yes. A nice tan? Sorry. Nope. But a box fan? Happily, yes. A day of sunshine? No. A box of fine wines? Yes. Uber Eats can definitely get you that. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. Product availability may vary by region. See app for details.
Kids scream for my ice cream, and I scream for cash back on everything from sprinkles to super freezers, thanks to my Amex Blue Business Cash Card. Who wants a brain freeze?
Get 2% cash back on your first $50,000 per year in purchases, and 1% after that with an Amex Blue Business Cash Card. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/bluebusinesscash. Built for business by American Express.
All right, Brian, we're back. Just again, a brief note to anybody. Tuesday is when Game Week 17 kicks off. So at the very least, go in and set that bus team. Make sure that you're ready to go, just in case you get hit by a bus in the next 48 hours before this match.
Look both ways, everybody.
Yeah, before the match kicks off. And, you know, the COVID stuff, I mean, you know, I would try to wait until Tuesday to make your transfer. Maybe take a 0.1 hit just to make 100% sure.
Wow, and, you know, you're just throwing daggers at me right now, Joshua.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, you were in a tricky spot, you know, but you also sometimes when you're feeling bad about FPL, you got to take action. You got to take action. Exactly. You can't sit around for 3 days. So anyway, one final note here. It's kind of a comment, but I thought it was an interesting way to end the podcast. Shane said, and he starts off with a quote. He says, "Take care of your biggest problem." Or fix your weakest link is the way I usually like to say it. He said, has been a great strategy to take to heart and one that I had dutifully ignored in 10 previous seasons of FPL. Yeah. This season, it saved me headaches, regrets, and likely more than a few hits, while also being a great sanity checker for taking a cold, objective look at my group and targeting the true weakest link in the chain versus the weakest link in the chain versus a rage transfer, which I have to admit can still feel extremely gratifying, or a more rushed emotional transfer on a shiny new toy, like me moving from Rafinha to Bernardo this week. It says, thanks for all that you guys do and for this often ridiculous game that we love. I wanted to include this in here because it's a piece of advice that you almost can't reiterate enough, right? Because again, if I had just fixed my weakest link, which was to take Kane out, and didn't bother with any other luxury transfers, I would be 5 points richer this week. And I feel like that is often the case. And it's not like, I mean, you know, it's like a lot of times that -4, just wait a week and do it for free. Yeah. You know, that's usually the way to do it. And you don't need to bust out that move early.
I feel like a strategy argument that suffered a bit this season is the argument of patience. And maybe this is a way to reframe that patience argument. Is to be patient with assets is not give them more time to allow them to perform. It's not focused on that underperforming asset that you want to get out. Be patient with them. It's actually, they may be underperforming, but they're not your biggest problem. And if you are patient in getting rid of them, not patient in holding them for them to return, but if you're patient in getting rid of them, you can probably bring on board a few more FPL points in the meantime. And I actually really love that perspective of looking at a player like Rafinha, and it's less hold on to these players so that they can reward your patience. It's just hold on to them because they are likely to maybe give you a parting gift.
I think I got a little caught up in all the chaos of this last week, you know, and it was like, it sort of got like caught in the slipstream of it all, but
it may have been like the only fun part of the last week is let's try to solve the problem of all this horrible chaos.
It felt like a week where it might have hit, you know, you can kind of get away with it. And in the end I kind of did. I mean, I finished on a green arrow this week, despite having a -4 that, you know, to take out a player who scored more than the player I brought in. But, you know, I think that it's just something to really keep in mind all the time, because I think that we often, to reframe it, right? If I had just done that this week, I actually had two problems that I was going to fix. I was going to take a -4. I should have taken out the injured, the COVID out Ivan Toney, right? Like, and solve that problem first, instead of this other one. And now I still have to deal with the Atone problem, and now I have Cancelo out too. So because I didn't solve that problem then,
right,
I'm still dealing with that problem now, right? I just like paid it forward with it, with, you know, and now I've got two problems instead of one. So it's something to really think about, because it can just, and honestly, if you just feel like you're like stuck, like that's like, it's kind of like what we talked about at the discussion right at the beginning of the podcast. If you're stuck, just start thinking practically, right? Like, mm-hmm. look at the first problem and solve that, and then wait a week and solve problem number two. And pretty soon your team's going to look totally different, and you're most likely going to be on some green arrows as well.
We're a couple of stubborn guys, Josh. We don't like going to the doctor. Yep. Just go to the doctor. You've got a problem, go to the doctor and fix it.
Yeah. Well, I like the way you talked about the patience thing a few minutes ago. I think that made a lot of sense. Yeah. Be patient with that doctor appointment too. You know, put off that colonoscopy. uh-huh. Not forever, you know, but just don't
it feels right.
Yeah. Don't bump somebody else's appointment, you know.
Wait until there's going to be a price rise on colonoscopies, and then you move on that.
Yeah. That might be a Sunday night appointment booking. All right. Well, thank you to everyone for listening. And I think this is short for us anyway. Mm-hmm. Thanks to everyone for listening. And let's do a quick thank you, Brandon, to our producers. I'll do the producer read this week, though, unless you want to. Take a breath.
You know? I want you to read the producer names. And before you get to that, who are these producers? Well, these producers are the top supporters on our Patreon page, which you can check out at patreon.com/alwayscheating. As Josh mm-hmm. mentioned at the top of the pod, it's pledge month. It's December. Mm-hmm. Yep. We want to thank Josh for what we do week in, week out. That's a great way to do it. And the producer tier is our top tier. You get your name mentioned at the end of every pod, mm-hmm. plus an Always Cheating podcast, which everybody at the Sorloth tier and above gets. So I go to patreon.com/alwayscheating to check that out. So Josh, much ado about the producers. Please give them their warm thank yous.
Yeah, and some of the people I was talking about giving you stick on Slack, Brandon, were these very producers. You know, okay. They have golden protection. You know, it's really they can get away with that. You know, and they can't get booted from the Slack.
But their names will be tattooed on my back next to my giant tattoo of the scales of justice. So you know, just so I don't forget.
I didn't even know that you got bumped. Was it because of the points hit? Was that what did it?
It was a Damari Gray yellow card. put me on a tie with another supporter who won the tiebreaker. And I mean, I fully deserved it because I'd been at the bottom for the last 3 weeks. So good on everybody who's still in the last cheater standing league. Yeah. Good luck to all of you.
All right. Well, Mike DiPietro, Trevor Ingerson, Chris Howell. Chris was horrified, by the way, he's a Tennessee fan, to find out that my wife is a Florida supporter because we were earlier at a Florida basketball game earlier. Andy Penn, Martin Savage, Brian T, the Big Gaffer, Babas Kuhn, Jeff Husby. Babas Kuhn, Brandon. We should Babas Kuhn, reach out to us. I don't know what you're up to these days, Babas Kuhn. So let us know what's going on. Jeff Husby, Ben Grant, James Holland, Dave Wagner-Lodahl, Nick Wright, and thanks. I'm glad you heard our shout-out on this last week's pod, Nick Wright. Jim Payne, I'd love for you to reach out to us as well. I haven't heard from Jim Payne in too long. Some of these people I hear from all the time. Other people, it's like I want to hear from them more, Brandon. Brian Chin, Blair Jacobs. Brian Chin used to send me DMs on Slack, and I want to hear from him again too. Blair Jacobs and Travis West. Victor, I can't do this for every single person. Victor Forberg, Skogang, Paul Herzig, Andy Portlock, Toothless Gibbon, Lindsay Rostel, Anton Markov, at FPL Merch, Carrie Swanson, Karen Screeton, Francis Mann, Chris Carter, Blue Nose Stew, Mikey Yuan, Bruce Kerr, Sam Schauer, Rich Evans, Future Media Group FPL, Ben Sweeney, George King, Shiv Majoria, Rom Frost, AJ, Jeremy Spiker, Lazarus Yanois, Jesse Halstead, Matthew Becker, Caleb Robbie, Todd Byerly, Alper Paxley, Martin Opseth, Lee Hickman, Valger Paulson Kruger, Jazz Binning, hope to see you soon. Jazz in Brooklyn. I got a couple of days off this week. Managed by Lasso, Francis Moore, James Keatley, Kagan Walsh, The Saint, and our newest producer patron, Alex Holcomb. Alex, thanks again for joining the crew. Brandon, where can people find the podcast?
They can find it wherever podcasts are available. Apple Podcasts. Listen, this is just what we'll say. If you don't care about Patreon and you want to help us, go to Apple Podcasts right now and give us 5 stars. That would be super cool. But just subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. Our discussions will be ever present during the festive period. I'm wearing my Santa hat right now, Josh. Festive Brandon is here with you. You can also follow us on Twitter @HailCheaters, Instagram @HailCheaters. Email us, hailcheaters@gmail.com. For all this information and more, we are at alwayscheating.com. Josh, that's the last word for me, apart from Poku Forever, and a shout out to the club that Poku himself helped to build, NYCFC, who I understand through text message is now the MLS Cup champion. Yeah. So good job, guys.
One time friend of the pod, Steven Schaller. All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening this week. Good luck on Tuesday this week. And hopefully we have a little less chaos than we had this last week. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.